Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. Lord Jesus, give us hearts to hear, ears, Father God, to listen, and Almighty God, minds that are willing to be molded by the Word of God. Let it be your words, Almighty God, and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase, and send your Word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this is what I was going to share before God just broke out and had everybody share, and it was awesome. But this is something that Bethy and I were actually listening to on the way here. We spent the night in Colorado Springs last night, and henceforth drove here early this morning. Not really early, because I drive really fast. But... Negative. As I did see four troopers, all of whom had someone else. Which, thank you, Jesus. Which is, and I went, I'm sorry, thank you. I'm sorry, thank you. Because fortunately, my angels drive very fast, Rex. They were doing about 110. They were right ahead of me. And... sorry, my Suburban will go very fast. So, Paul and Silas, are you ready?
Amen.
Paul and Silas, when they are in Philippi, which is a Roman city, they are followed by a woman who is filled with the spirit of divination. Now, yes, there is a spiritual realm. And a spirit of divination is a witchcraft spirit. This woman is following them around saying this: they have come to preach the Most High God. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound blasphemous. She said, listen to these men. They are from the Most High God. Again, most people would go, okay. Sounds like someone would say something like that in church. But this irritated the Apostle Paul because he knew what spirit it was. And it was a spirit of witchcraft, of divination. And so at one point, Paul gets irritated and turns around and casts the devil out of her. Be gone from her. Well, people were making money off of her telling the future. And they didn't like that. How many of you know that people sometimes allow money to become their God, and this is what they had done? So they're willing to put up with the devil in order to make money. And so Paul casts this devil out of her, and they end up in jail because the people who were making money off of her were irritated. Now I lost my meal ticket. I got my meal ticket, and now I am going to have to work for money instead of just have someone go do this for me. So they're in jail. Now, here's the interesting thing. Peter has already been released from jail by the people praying. Literally, the angel walked him out of jail, right? So when Paul and Silas are taken to jail, don't you think that they should pray, Lord, send an angel to come and release us from jail, to walk us out of jail? Isn't that what most of you would do? Well, I've already seen this, so let's do this. However, that's not what Paul and Silas did. And I want you to get up. This pastor said this morning. I was like, that is exactly the Word of God. Okay? So they're in the inner prison. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 24. Actually, 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So they beat them so that they left welts. Ouch. Verse 24. Having received such a charge, he, the jailer, put them in the inner prison. This is the bottom level of prison, the most secure, maximum security, and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, what the stocks would do was the foot places were spread wide so that you were very uncomfortable and could not think about wanting to move or leave. So they're locked in here. Now, we would think, Lord, come release me. Send an angel to loose my feet from these stocks so that I can go preach your gospel. Lord, let this torment end. As they're beaten and bloody and bound in the stocks. But, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wait a minute. They weren't complaining. They weren't begging God to release them from their chains. They were praying and singing hymns. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to suffer righteously for you. And they began to sing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. I love this. So here's this dead quiet prison. And out of the very bottom of the prison, the dungeon, where all of the bad stuff ends up, comes these songs. How great thou art. How great thou art. I don't know what they were singing. They were singing hymns to God. And it rose up out of here. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, what gets me about this is, that's not what they were asking for. They were not praying, God, release everybody in this jail. They were saying, Lord, we just love you so much, and we are so in love with you, and we just want to give our hearts to you. And as we're here in this prison, Father, just bless our words, and let them bring you joy. Let them touch your heart. Let them minister to you. And God said, wait a minute, I'm going to shake things up. And he loosed all the prisoners who were what? Listening to them. All of them. So much so that even the Philippian jailer, who was a Roman citizen, because Philippi was a Roman colony, and so as a Roman, if you are given charge of the king's prisoner, of the Caesar. Caesar's not a name, it's a title. The Caesar. If the Caesar gives you charge over these prisoners and they get loose, your life is forfeit. You give it up. If they're gone, you're dead. So as being a good Roman citizen, he was going to kill himself. So he pulled his sword and went, well, prison doors are all open. I'm sure all the prisoners are gone. I'm just going to kill myself. And Paul said, wait, no one has left. We're all free, but nobody's left. And as a matter of fact, we're free, and you're in chains. But let me loose your chains. And it says, the Philippian jailer and his entire family came to the knowledge of Christ. And why was that? Because they went to evangelize jails? It wasn't Paul's prison ministry. Paul had a ministry and a calling from God, and he was doing what he was called by God to do. And in the midst of that, he had a prison ministry. See, this is where people get off. Instead of trying to manufacture something, do what God calls us to do, which is to speak and to love and to walk and to do just as he puts in our heart. Not to try to manufacture something. Just, Lord, whatever you have, bring it out. Amen. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs coming forth. And in that, the very foundations of a prison shaking. How many of those prisoners do you think got saved? I bet every one of them did. As they went, wait a minute. You don't have to leave. You're free. No. The jailer's going to stop us. No, he's free too. He put his sword down. He's going to serve Jesus now. What?
Yeah.
Well, you can be free, but if the Romans catch you, they'll kill you for escaping. Unless you really give your heart to the Lord, in which case he'll protect you. Interesting. I bet they all got saved. It just really hit me. Because they weren't begging God for freedom. How many of you, when you're sick, begin to beg God for healing? How many of you, when you're in financial, God, send me money. I mean, see, instead of, Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I just want to praise you. I just want to love you. I just want to be yours. So be it unto us.
Amen.
There we go.
Amen. You also realize, too, when you listen to that story and the account of how it happened, that when one man gets free, it always frees another man. You never know how many men are set free because you're free.
Amen. So we were talking this weekend, and ladies, you're all going to have one foot up, which is good, because then, since the men are struggling with the amens, you ladies will be able to help with the amens prior. Okay. So maybe the... Yeah, amen. There we go. Right. So we're going to talk about the river of God.
Amen.
Way to be an overachiever, Paul. I like it. A peremptory amen is not helpful, though. So, you got to wait until that right moment.
Amen.
It's a little like pushing dominoes.
Amen.
That's all right. Rivers are life givers.
Amen.
And they're filled with life. And they bring forth provision.
Amen.
But they attract life, right?
Amen.
They attract all sorts of life.
Amen.
And those of you who were not there at the river of God, there was an alligator.
Yeah.
Now, I would just like to say we were going to bring a real alligator. I was going to bring a real caiman. I literally...
$250, that's why we didn't bring one.
Right. And I'm thankful because the soap definitely would have killed him.
This is true. See, then we would have killed it.
The flowers?
Yes.
No, the flower. See, this was the beauty of this, and this is what Bethy was talking to you guys about, which is as you got ladies were putting in your anger and your frustrations and your hurts and abuse and those things, God said was, look, and it was funny because that evening as everybody cleared out and I was standing over by the pool, I smelled the aroma of perfume coming from the water. And I said, isn't that awesome that God takes our offerings of abuse and anger and frustration and fear and doubt and self-hatred and all of these things. And in the rivers of God, it becomes a fragrant aroma.
Amen.
That brings blessing to people. See, that's a powerful thing. And that's what the rivers of God, because the river of God, the rivers sustain life. I mean, how many of you know that, look, without rivers, prior to man coming in and putting pipes and pumps, and when pipes and pumps fail, you know what's going to feed? Rivers. And they bring forth food for life. Without the water, I'm going to tell you what, water in Colorado, a powerful thing. More people have been killed over water in this state than anywhere else. And even when you don't see water, 1,100 feet underneath you is the aqueducts of God. I said aqueducts because aqueduct is actually a created thing. God created them. We call them aquifers because they're created by God. Aqueducts are created, and our Father created underneath us the Laramie Fox Hill Foundation, which is a river that is larger than the Colorado.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's huge. It's enormous. If you could see it, that's the river of God. You don't see it. But see, like right here, you don't see the river of God, but we are immersed in it. This weekend, the ladies were like, ooh, what is that? It was the river of God. It was the very foundational aquifers that God has created that were bringing forth even what you couldn't see. See, because when God broke up the foundations of the earth at the time of Noah, it says, and he released the aquifers of the deep and flooded the world. Now, I'm just going to tell you, God still has that power, promised he'd never do it again, but the rivers of the Spirit are the same way, and what he is willing to loose for his people.
Amen. Rivers are transformers. They're not only life givers, but they are amazing transformers. They transform whatever gets into them, and they transform whatever is around them. When the children of Israel were in a very, very hard place, a very dry place, a very empty place, a very parched place, a very, very, very desperate place, God gave them a river. In Psalm 105, verse 41.
That's where I was taking you.
Thank you, baby. It said, he opened the rock and water gushed out like a river. It flowed in the desert. That's the faithfulness of God. Only God can bring a river out of a rock. Only God can make a river flow in a desert. Only God can take that which no water should ever come from and not just bring a stream out of it, but have water come gushing out of it. And Jesus, like Jerry was talking about, this is what we talked about, he is that living water. He is the water that when we drink from that, everything wrong is made right in our life. Everything incomplete is made complete. Everything broken is made fixed. And for those of us who are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, Scripture says in John 7:38 that rivers of living water shall now flow out of the belly of the believer, out of the heart of the believer. So as we dissolve into, which is what we talked about, for those of you who have no clue what we're talking about, these petals, we had these little roses and they had little petals on them. And we were talking about that we need to be able to dissolve into the river because so many people lay on the river or they watch the river. And then when the river starts going fast or the river has to take a sharp turn, they just jump off the river. Because I'm not really one with the river. I'm kind of watching it or I'm laying on top of it. And there's always this distinction. It's easy to see the difference between Jesus and you when you're just laying on top of the river or when you're just standing along the banks of the river. But when you dissolve into the river and you truly become one, like Jesus said, I pray that they would be one as even my Father and I are one. That's what he prayed for you. You should know. If you do not know how Jesus prayed for you, then you need to go to your Bible and you need to read John 17. That's how he prayed for you. Your Savior actually prayed for you. And this is one of the things he prayed, that you would be one, even as he and the Father were one. So we said, I want you to take whatever it is where you know you need to dissolve into. What is the attitude you have that is not dissolved in with Jesus? Maybe it's a fear, maybe it's agenda, whatever it is. But as we dissolve into that river, then we become rivers of living water that transform everything that gets anywhere near us.
See, and here's the key to dissolving. What he says at the beginning of that. Whoever what?
Believes.
Does what?
Believes.
Believes. What does belief take?
Faith.
Because it's impossible to please God without faith. Whoever believes. Who is that?
Whoever.
Whoever. Do you believe? If you believe in me, then as Scripture has said, you can dissolve and become streams of living water that will flow from within him. See, look, you're going to become living water. Out of the belly of the believer shall flow rivers of living water. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, I love this. This is what I almost jumped up and said something at the ladies' retreat, but I was silent.
Amen.
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 Because Bethy said everything that needed to be said. But this is the verse that was screaming out of my spirit, which is, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. This is chapter 47, verse 1. Ezekiel 47:1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. I mean, this is coming right out of the house of God. This is water coming right out of the house of God. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And then when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water as the water came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me up to the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes."
Amen.
"And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gellim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for fruit that will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." Amen? Look, that is an amazing thing. Because rivers are for transforming, and they're for transforming physical conditions. Right, Valerie? Amen? Right, Tabitha? You can float. I'm just going to tell you, I don't float. I'm going to tell you what, you can lay hands on me until God comes back. I have gravity that is negative. I took a life-saving class when I was a teenager to be a lifeguard, and the instructor's like, "Okay, we got to tread water for an hour to pass the class."
Oh, wow.
I said, and we got to the float. She goes, "Okay, but I'm going to show you how this is easy. Just float." I said, "You don't understand. I don't float. You see, my south end is made of lead." And she's like, no, everybody can float. And I said, "Just knock yourself out." And so she did the whole, like Bethy, you know, she's like, "Now, just relax, just relax." Wow. She said, "You're made of lead." I said, "This is what I'm saying." So I passed anyway, treading water. Everybody else is like, "Yeah, oh yeah, let's just do this." I'm like, some of us have to work harder to get those physical transformations. But I don't think it's a spiritual principle. I think it's a gravitational pull. But see, water transforms our shapes and appearances, right?
Yes.
You ever put your hand under the water? You ever looked underwater and seen that things don't line up any longer? The refraction of the water, it changes the shapes and the surfaces of everything.
They're very transforming. Rivers or water transform sounds. Things sound very differently when you put your head underwater. There are things when you put your head beneath the surface of the waters that you will hear that you won't hear up here. And there are things that you'll hear down there. It's an amazing thing when you just do that. It also transforms perspectives. Things look different underwater. And one of my favorite things, like I talked about, that water does is it transforms gravity. Everything is so much easier when you get in the water. You just float. You can travel so much further with such less effort. Well, some people... Can I tell you? Let me tell you one of the keys to floating. Now, some people do have issues with gravity, but I'm going to tell you one of the keys to floating is you need to look as far up as you can.
Amen.
For all of you people that float like this.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
No. You're going to start to go like this. You have to put your head back and look as far up as you can. And most of you don't. You do this. And every time you do this, your legs start to do this. Scripture says, lift up your eyes unto the hills from where my help comes from. You put your head so far back that all you can see is up there. You can't see your feet. You can barely even see your hands. All I can see is that. That's one of the keys to floating. Once you get your eyes all the way up there, then you got to relax. And everything else just kind of flows as it should. But rivers are very transforming. That's, No. He's an anomaly, I will say. I've watched him. It's in the south end, and it just, actually, I will say Cody has the same problem. Cody can't do it either. So it must be something in the Clark.
Yes. My hind end is genetically predisposed.
Your hind end doesn't sink? You got my buoyancy?
That child
he's a floater like his mom.
7, 8 years of age just floated into the, literally went into the Maui Ocean.
That was scary.
We were all getting ready, and he's just like, and Bethy goes, she's like, he's 100 yards off. I'm like, I'll go catch him. He's already, yeah, I'm just going out to sea. It's all good. There's no big, I mean, he was just like, I got fins, I got a snorkel, I'm gone. It's like, she's like, he's going to make the breakwater. I'm like, yeah, pretty quick. So better get out there and catch him.
So that's what we talked about. And Jerry wanted to bring the word back here for those of you that didn't make it with us. So,
look,
there you
rivers,
go.
Rivers have some attributes. First of all, they have a place of beginning, a place of origination. Now, how many people know how big the Mississippi is? Glenn, how wide is the Mississippi?
Half a mile
wide. Okay. Okay. Can I tell you, I have jumped over the Mississippi River. I have jumped across the Mississippi River. You know where? In Minnesota at Lake Itasca at the headwaters. I was 15 years old and I went, jumped over the Mississippi. Why? Because, see, when it comes out of the lake, it's not huge. At the headwaters, you know what the headwaters is? It's the beginning place, the place of origination. So every river has one of these, and it has an ending destination. Do you know the Mississippi ends in the Gulf of Mexico? It has an end. There's a beginning and an end. It has a destination.
As rivers of living water, obviously, Jesus is our place of origination. That's where we draw. That he's our headwater. That's where we get filled up. And as we flow forth, our ending destination is heaven. That's where we're headed to. And I'm in flow every day, and heaven is my gravitational pull. That's what's given me my direction. I'm not going to stop flowing until I get to heaven, where I pull right on in there and I rest at the right hand of the Father.
And this scripture, as we read through, it says, and at its destinations, when it hits the sea, the waters are healed. Right? Now, can I tell you something about this scripture? Theologians who are smarter than me say that this river they're talking about leads to the Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. This would be the Jordan River. And to the Great Sea, which is dead, which is literally the only thing that lives in the Dead Sea is brine shrimp. Literally nothing else exists there. The lowest point on the earth. And when this day comes, they say that the waters will come and the fish will become like that of the Sea of Galilee, which is overwhelmingly abundant. So it'll come from the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan will flow through the Sea of Galilee into the Dead Sea, and it will be healed. It will bring its waters life. Now that's indicative of us here on earth where we are in the Dead Sea. But when we reach our destination like that, the waters will be healed.
Amen. And as you flow forth every day and you bring rivers of living water, then you bring life to dead places. How many of you have ever been filled with all sorts of dead places and somebody allowed the rivers of living water on the inside of them to just flow? What happened? What you just saw here, when it empties into the sea, the waters there become fresh and things begin to live that were once dead. That's what happens when you get in flow like you're supposed to. Rivers also have to have banks and boundaries to stay on course. We talked about the fact that a river that does not have a bank or it does not have a boundary, as that river is coursing along and it makes a sharp curve or an obstacle gets in the way, without banks and boundaries, they'll jump course. And you will become disconnected waters. You have to have a bank. You have to have a boundary so that when you're being pulled toward heaven, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you don't jump course when things get tough and obstacles get thrown in the way. Because if you become disconnected waters, you become lost. You become a wanderer. Next thing you know, you become this right here. You become the marsh. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt, which means you're going to dry up. And you are going to cease to exist. And that's what happens when we don't have those banks and borders. We get lost. We wander. We jump our banks, our boundaries. Or maybe we made the boundary this big. So it was easy when it got tough to just kind of spread out. And then the next thing you know, we are stinky. And we're diseased. We're full of sin. And we're infested with parasites. And when people come to drink from us, they drink dead waters. Waters that are killing us, and if they drink from us, it will kill them too.
Well, in Oregon, we call those sloughs. In the South, they're called swamps. In Oregon, they're called sloughs, and a slough is not a place you want to be. Why? Because no river water gets there. It can get cut off, and then when it gets cut off, it's like a dry riverbed, like they talked about this weekend. A dry riverbed. You ever been someplace where you're really thirsty? And you're looking for water, and you're looking for water, and you're like, oh, wait, I see a riverbed there. And you walk over, and there's nothing there. That's like Jesus talks about the clouds that boast of rain but bring nothing. You know that one? You're like, oh, man, it's so hot. I hope that rain cloud has some rain. And nothing. See, that's that dead riverbank. That's what happens to those sloughs and swamps and marshes is they dry up because they don't have the flow, the river.
Mm-hmm. And then people need water. I was telling them when we were driving through Texas to go see Schombach, you would drive through Texas and they would have signs and it'd say Hope River, 6 miles. And there's really not a lot to see in Texas, so this was exciting because I'm thinking, cool, we can see something different. And you're driving along and 5 miles and 4 miles and I'm waiting. And then all of a sudden it says Hope River. And we go over the little bridge and it's nothing but more dirt. And I went, really? It's a false promise. And we saw so many of those, probably 6 or 7 signs like that, where we came up on them, and it was nothing but a false promise.
I mean, 100 yard wide where it had been a river, but it's not. Now it's a wash or an arroyo. It's mm-hmm. just nothing. It's just dry.
Which is what we become when we disconnect from the headwaters. We dry up. We become a false promise. People need us, and we're dry. Rivers are places of attraction. We talked about this. Boy, I tell you, where the river flows, it attracts life, and not always good life. Like I said, some good things, some evil things. Some things with good intent, some things with not good intent. Healthy people, sick people will be drawn to you as a river.
I mean, there's those who are coming to consume life. There are those who are coming to drink from the waters, and those who are coming to eat those who are drinking from the water. I mean, those are called predators. Do you know there are predators out there that are seeking to kill, steal, and destroy? Yeah. Whose are they?
Satan.
They are Satan's. They are Satan's who are coming to kill, steal, and destroy, that are hunting the people coming to the water. Because you see, like in Africa, you go to a watering hole if you're a predator and if you're thirsty. Now, that's an anomaly. Oh, good, I'm going to get life or I'll get eaten. See, I mean, there it's places of attraction.
Every river has a smell, doesn't it? A river that's in movement smells fresh. It's invigorating. It's alluring. A river that is slow moving, somewhat disconnected, will oftentimes be very stinky. The river's smell is very indicative of what's in the river. What's gotten left in the river? What's gotten deposited in the river? Sometimes things can get deposited in a river, and if the river is in rapid enough motion, it'll still smell fresh. But you put nasty things in a river, and the river becomes stagnant and slow-moving, and the next thing you know, that's the aroma of the river. So what type of an aroma do you have as rivers of living waters? Every river has a sound. It's the obstacles that give the river its sound. None of us like obstacles. They're difficult. They're hard. But it's the rocks and the logs and the things that are thrown in the river that make the river have its sound. Without the obstacles, you can't even hear a river.
I mean, you know those little concrete rivers that, you know, you have in like Eliches? Barely hear the water. Now you go that same amount of water with rocks and trees and, right? It's that beautiful bubbling sound that makes you just go, right?
And every river has a course, and we don't get to determine it. We do not get to determine it.
Remember who determines the course of a river? God determines the course of every river, even the river of life within you. See, in the beginning, we see in the book of Genesis, God using rivers, even in the garden, to water the land and the things that he created. And those rivers of living water now that he uses to water the land around us each day, the aquifers that we're talking about. You know, when you're dry and destitute, when you're empty and all of a sudden somebody comes up near you and you just feel like, oh, whew, I'm being watered. See, he's our living water and the Holy Spirit within us that's got to flow forth like a river coming out of us to water the land that's around us, right? And that's why God left us the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just to make us feel good.
That's right.
But it was for his purpose of watering the earth. In the book of Isaiah, it says in Isaiah 35, 3 through 6, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now I'm just going to say, this is a prophetic scripture that has been fulfilled. Amen. Okay. Jesus, go back. Go back, honey. Let me show you why. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Who said that? Jesus. For your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you.
Amen.
The reason that we know that happened was because the retribution wasn't against this world or the enemies of this world. The retribution was against the enemy of our souls. And it is when he took captivity captive, when he went to hell and took the keys of hell and death away from the author of death and said, mine. Divine retribution. He took away Satan's authority and he said, I have authority over sin and death now. And I am giving it to my children.
Right.
That is divine retribution. Because then it says what? Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. Do you remember when Jesus came and opened the eyes of a man born blind? Now, they had had blind people for various different reasons get healed, but they had never seen anyone blind from birth healed until Jesus.
That's right.
Why? Because that's the fulfillment of the scripture.
Amen. Amen. All right. So in Genesis 2, we see he began with the rivers. I'm going to start in verse 8 and go through 14. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden is a tree of life, in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of the land is good. Aromatic, resin, and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. So here's what we looked at this weekend, and this is what the pastor wanted to talk about again this morning, which is the four attributes of these four rivers that began to flow through the land to bring healing. And these four attributes are supposed to be part of the rivers of living water that are flowing through you today as you bring the life and the healing and the transforming life and love of Christ to the lands all around you. So the first one is the Pishon. Here's what the Pishon means. It means to push. It comes from the word push, meaning to spring about, to be strong, to increase, to be scattered, or to spread. Again, it means to push, to spring about, be strong, increase, scatter, or spread. Another name for it is called the great diffusion or the free flowing. So I'm going to ask you, as guys that haven't heard this yet, the same question I asked all the ladies yesterday. Does this sound like you? Are you free flowing? Are you a great diffusion? Are you diffused into the living waters of God, and the living waters of God are flowing out of you? Are you a strong river? Are you spreading out and increasing and scattering life around you?
See, strong or weak, a strong river is not hindered by obstacles. I mean, you ever seen a strong river and rocks and things? What does it do? It just goes around them, goes up and over them, pushes them down. But one of those little tiny rivers, a little kind of weak, ambling, babbling little brook, you know, a beaver builds what we call in my house beaver darns. And, sorry, that's weak. So they build beaver darns, and the beaver darns block up rivers. You ever seen one? I've seen them where it'll stop up an entire river. And that's not good. We're not supposed to be like that. But when you're weak, that's what happens. And then what does it do? It creates a little swamp. It creates a little place that might be life for one thing, but it's not life giving along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And those obstacles are supposed to give us our sound. Remember, not stop us.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little thought. I told Bethy this at the ladies' retreat. I said, see, people say this all the time. Gosh darn it. And then when God builds a darn there in your river, you don't understand why, because you've been asking him to stop up your river. I don't know why my river stopped up. Somebody told me this the other day. Friend was saying this over and over again. Gosh darn it, gosh darn it, gosh darn it. Building a beaver darn in his river. Asking God to do it. And there it was. And I don't know why my river stopped up. Because I keep asking God, stop up my river. Just a thought. That came to me, and I texted Beth a little message, and she was like, I'm not going to say that. So.
But are you increasing in flow or are you decreasing? Again, one of the definitions of the Pishon is to increase. As you look back at your flow, maybe in the last year, the last 5 years, the last 10 years, would you say you're increasing in flow? Like God the Father is just turning the spigot on your hose and you're flowing more and more and more? Or are you decreasing? Like you got all sorts of stuff jammed in there and you're just dribbling out nowadays.
Are you that hose that's like, right? A river that's kind of spastic. You know what the problem is with spastic rivers? You never know what to expect. You don't go down there with a bucket to gather water because it may not be there today. You got to go down first to see. Is that how people look at you? Did they come to see what kind of mood you're in?
Come on.
Do I have my bucket? Can I? Oh, no. It's empty. Wait, I'll come back again tomorrow. Maybe I got a teaspoon. Because my river is spastic. It comes and goes. And then sometimes you're like, whoa, I can't even get near the river. It's flooding over the banks. It's just going crazy. Right? You got that, whoa, look at it. I'm gonna come back and go get my bucket and then come back and it's gone. What happened?
Do you find yourself able to feed more or scarcely surviving yourself? Are you spread out, scattering, refreshing the waters around you? Or are you just kind of hiding your waters within yourself? I'm just kind of keeping it to myself. And the Song of Solomon in 4:12, it says, "You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain." Sometimes that's what we do. Instead of scattering and spreading out the rivers of living water, we just kind of hide them back here and say, I don't think I want to do that anymore. Are you freely flowing or just bound up and dribbling? Where are you today?
Fear, doubt, unbelief, unworthiness, anger. Because those are those things that block up the flow. Amen. That keep it from coming out. Are you a great diffusion like the Mississippi? You know, at the mouth of the Mississippi, it's huge. I mean, it's large ship, huge. Or are you a great disaster? You like when the river goes through the middle of town and just overtakes and do. You ever say, look, if you've ever lived anywhere where rivers flood, Bethy's family lived up in Alaska, and a flood takes out homes and cities and streets and buildings, and it floods it so badly that you almost have to bulldoze it and start over again.
We're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be a river that brings life, not as disastrous to the life around us. And oftentimes, it's those that don't have banks and borders or are not submitted and diffused into the river. They're just out there flowing all over the place that they become a great disaster. They run around them.
They're the fire hose. You guys know these people. I'll describe it. They're the fire hose that you're just kind of sitting there at the park and they go like... and the kids go blowing off and then, right? You know this person? And then it shuts off. You're like, right? That's not how we're supposed to be. I know you guys got a visual on that because you know that person who comes in. Sometimes it's like the boom. And it takes like an hour or two to dry everybody off and get them all.
The second one, the Gihon. All right. The Gihon, the first time, there's two different times that it's mentioned in the Bible. The first one is the one that we just talked about in the Garden of Eden that flows through the land of Cush. The second Gihon mentioned in the Bible is a place in Jerusalem where King Solomon was anointed as king. One of the things that, here's what the Gihon mean. It comes from the verb gaya, and it means to burst forth. To burst forth. A vivaciously flowing river. Again, I want you to think about the river on the inside of you. It's also frequently likened to like a child bursting forth from the womb. New life bursting forth out of you. It's also called...
What did you say, a what? Geyser?
It's called the gusher. I missed it.
Childbirth. You were just talking.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was just like... All of a sudden, you know, I was there with a fire hose, and then I was childbirth. And it was...
The gusher, or bubbler, it's also called. The great breaking forth. Amen? Or the bursting forth. Those are the other names of the Gihon. Does that sound like you?
Now, what's interesting about that is it's where Solomon was anointed. So this river, where Solomon was anointed for what? He was the greatest king of Israel. Said there would never be one like him. He was exalted. Why? Because of his father David's prayers and intercession for him. Wasn't because of anything Solomon did, except that he asked God for wisdom. Give me one thing. What would you ask for? Wisdom. Okay? And so when you're anointed into the flowing and purpose that God has given to you, it's the same way. I mean, at this river, you should burst forth and gush like that geyser coming forth. When God has appointed you and anointed you for something, that you go to do it. So many people are like a geyser with a rock stuck in it. Right? You ever heard of this person? I got all this beer to do. And it's just kind of, and it makes a lot of steam. And everybody, if you've been to Old Faithful, you know that it's like this. Everybody's like, Some people are like this when they're not flowing in this. And everybody's waiting. Okay, he's been talking. This is, that was it. I mean, if Old Faithful didn't go 150 feet in the air, people wouldn't call Old Faithful. They'd call it, eh? Right?
Once the disciples got filled with rivers of living water, they went forth. They burst forth and they brought life to whatever they did. They extended their hand for healing. They preached the word and people got saved. Let me give you a visual example this very second of a Gihon sitting right in this room. You want one? Just that quick. Right there. Robert. That man burst forth with what? Rivers of living water. All he ever talks about is Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, he's had some bad things happen in his life. And every time Andy ever talks about Robert, he says, well, he'll say this story and he'll tell that story and this happened. And but you know what? He just bubbles forth. He bursts forth with the life of God, with the promise of God. He's not sitting around waiting for some calling of the Lord. He's been filled with God's purpose, and my purpose is to flow forth rivers of living water, whether I'm standing on the street corner, whether I'm sitting in a hospital with a bone jutted up out of my skin because somebody whacked me on the head or on the leg. It doesn't matter. He's doing the exact same thing. He is fulfilling his purpose. He's not waiting for a calling. We talked about this. This is where Christians miss it. You are waiting for a calling. Let me tell you what Scripture says. Matthew 9:12. This is Jesus talking. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means, okay? I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous.
That means he wasn't going to church.
I came to call the sinners. He's already called the righteous. If you're the righteous, if you've been made right by the blood of the Lamb, he's not calling you again. He's called you. Now you need to start flowing in your purpose. What is your purpose?
Love.
The new commandment I give unto you, you shall love one another as I have loved you. What is your purpose? Out of the belly of the believer shall flow rivers of living water. Where? I don't know. At the grocery store, when I'm driving the mail truck, when I'm putting my kids to bed at night, when I'm picking up these chairs in about an hour from now and we're all going home.
Once again, I want you to think about this. Day of Pentecost. How many know about the Day of Pentecost? How many don't know about the Day of Pentecost?
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. Sorry. I forgot to raise my hand.
So, yeah. So
I wasn't raising my hand. I missed the moment. I know.
All right, so the Day of Pentecost. 50 days. Penta means five. Pentecost. 50 days after the Jesus resurrected. Okay? So 50 days later, they're waiting in the upper room. On Pentecost. Now Jesus had said, wait, and my Father shall send power from on high. That word power comes from the dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get dynamite from. Explosive power will come upon you. Now, 50 days later, the disciples are sitting around, and it says, tongues of fire came down upon them, and they were transformed. With the dunamis, the dynamite explosive power of God. They had already been called and they were empowered. Boom. And they went from hiding to Peter went out and preached a sermon that got 3,000 people saved.
That's right.
Now I'm going to tell you what, that's the difference. From Peter who went, I'm going back fishing because I messed up. To
that's
Peter
right.
who went, let me tell you something, you Jews, I will preach it out. Peter was not a teacher. Peter was a fisherman. So it was more like, hey, listen, you guys. I'm telling you. I mean, he's a fisherman. It was not an orator, but it was empowered by the Spirit. Okay, so I want you to get that picture. Now you know what Pentecost is. Tongues of fire, and they went out, and it says that everyone was speaking in a tongue different than what they normally did. But this place, this marketplace, was filled with people from other nations. And it says other people noticed that this person was a Galilean, this person was from Bethlehem, and they're speaking in Assyrian, they're speaking in Babylonian, they're speaking in languages that they don't know, but I'm understanding them. It would be like you going to Russia and all of a sudden speaking in perfect Russian. People would be going, where did you learn Russian? I don't know Russian. But see, that's the power of the Spirit. Now, what if those men had been sitting there at that place waiting and praying, and the Spirit of God came on them, tongues of fire, and they went, woo, that was awesome. Okay, let's wait for God to call.
Come on.
This is what people in church are doing. Wait a minute, I'm waiting for God's call. I've been empowered by the Spirit, now I'm waiting. Wait a minute, would it be called the day of Pentecost plus 20, 30? I don't know how long it is. Waiting for God to call me to do something. What's my calling? Maybe I'm called to be an evangelist. I don't know, let me pray. Maybe I'm called to be a pastor. Let me pray. You've been called. Your call is already there. It's already done. God's already told you what to do. What was the calling to do?
Love
one another as I have loved you.
Amen.
There it is. Your calling is already done. Your calling's already fulfilled. Now, when the empowerment comes, you're supposed to do what?
Flow.
And they went forth.
Amen.
They burst forth. Notice that it says that the Gihon bursts forth, not backwards. Rivers don't flow backwards. One of the reasons rivers of living water stop flowing through the belly of the believers is because we try to walk backwards instead of just flowing forward as Christ has called us to do. Or we just stand. Again, you need to flow. If you've ever tried to walk up a river, it's exhausting, it's frustrating, it's painful, and eventually you're just going to want to quit. But if you will just burst forward and go the direction of the gravitational pull, you're going to get where you need to be. And then you need to remember that rivers must be pushed. Most of us don't like to be pushed, but rivers must be pushed.
How many people like to be pushed? Because see, when you're being pushed, you know, have you ever felt like this? Like I've said this. When we got saved, I felt like somebody strapped us onto the front of an RTD bus. Like, here we go! Wait a minute, how are we off? I don't know! But here we go! And sometimes that bus is headed straight for a brick wall. Now, the key is don't pray that God removes a brick wall. Pray he makes my head hard enough to get through the brick wall. Because, see, we're what God is going to use. But that's what being pushed, like that river. Have you ever fallen in a river? Have you ever fallen in a river? I'm going to tell you what. Falling in a river is a scary thing. I used to run down rivers in Oregon a lot. And when you're out of your raft, the only thing you can do is go with the river. Put your feet downstream, go with the river, and try to and do a lot of this. Oh, yeah, I hope I don't hit my head on a rock. Just go with the river.
Mm-hmm.
You can't swim up the river because you'll drown, because you'll get tired.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go with the river, and if you need a break, you get to the bank.
If there's something back there that God needs you to deal with, he'll float it in front of you, and then you can deal with it together. Don't go back there looking for stuff. And then remember, again, that pressure is what causes things to burst forth. It's pressures that causes things to bubble up. It is the bubbler. It is not the bubble. Do you know why? Because the pressure is supposed to create that, what did it say again? That vivaciously flowing river. Vivaciously. expectant, expectation. The devil comes and he pokes your bubble and it doesn't matter. There's just another one coming. That's why I said, you remind me of that, because this one bit, bad things happens. Well, it's okay. Well, then this is going to happen. And then we'll look forward to this. And we'll do, well, you know what? I can't wait to see what God does out of this. Why? Because the pressure is just causing me to bubble up all the more and bubble up all the more. And every time the devil pops my bubble, I don't just lay flat and die. I just bubble up all the more. And we'll say, we'll just see what God is going to do from here.
God expects us to continue on. And so many people have one plan. Ooh, I'm going to go do this. And then it pops and you go, oh, that was it. That's all I had planned. That's not how God does it. God says, look, plan A, plan B, plan C, I'm going to move you from this point to this point. And if you mess up plan A, trust me, I got plan B that's going to come sweep you a little farther on down the road. If you jump out of that, and plan C is going to come sweep you up a little farther down the road. You remember Jonah? God said, here, this is what I want you to do. Jonah said, I'm going in a direction. And God said, plan B. All right, so you jumped on a ship, and you're running from what I asked you to do, so I'm going to bring a storm. And that storm, the only thing that's going to stop it is if you get them to throw you out of the boat. So they did. They threw him out of the boat. And God said, plan C, large fish to swallow you up. And to be in the belly of a large fish for 3 nights. Now, I just want to tell you, in the side of the belly of a fish, not a pretty sight. Think about that. No wonder he was begging God, all right, God, I'll do whatever you want. Because God didn't let him get digested. He had to sit there and, I'm just going to tell you, ever been to the back of a fish food restaurant? It was just like that. He'd be like, oh, what did he eat today? I'm ready, Lord. I will go and tell the people of Nineveh they are sinning. And it says, and the giant fish vomited him out on the land. Mm-hmm. Plan D. Vomited him out on the land. Now, he could have gone from A right to Nineveh and said, yes, hear what the Lord said. There it is. Instead, he had to get plan B, then plan C, then plan D to propel him. Bubble after bubble after bubble after bubble.
Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. The third river we see is the Tigris, or the Hiddekel. That's how I say it. The Hiddekel is the third rivers that we see flowing through there. Many translations call it the Tigris, but consistently throughout the Bible, you'll see it called the Hiddekel, which means to prick, to sting, to split, or to separate. It means a prickly thorn or a sharp thorn. Yeah. It means sharp, swift, lightness, or frivolity, I believe is how you say it.
A lot of frivolity.
A lot of frivolity. Rapid, it's also referred to as the Tigris is. I thought it was kind of interesting that tigers have sharp teeth. So I thought it was interesting that it means one of the definitions is sharp. And to separate, rapid, sharp, sharp rapids, the rapid, swift. The Bible says we are called to be separate, that we are called to come out and separate ourselves from the world. And in order to do that, we have to become very sharp in our differences with the world, which is what he's talking about here.
Look, some will be offended. Some will be distanced immediately. Some people will become judgmental. Here's one of the things that you need to be aware of. See, Christ's thorns, I'm going to tell you what, that put a lot of people off. Ooh, I don't know if I like that. I've seen people come and go, ooh, I get saved. Yeah, you got to understand. He said, I didn't come to bring peace.
With a sword.
Uh-huh. Now, here's what the sword is. He didn't say, come on, everybody, just to love each other and everything, just to be warm and fuzzy. You know, it's not all like to so that we can all just stand around. And, like, he said, look, I came for a purpose, and that purpose is going to separate. And that purpose is that you would love one another as what? I have loved you, which is purely and perfectly. And he said, here's the sword. Not a worldly love, not a love that just makes you feel good.
Because that's what the world says. I just want to love you and make me feel good. No. He said, I want you to love like I love you. And that's the sword that's going to separate. And it's going to cause division. And it's going to make people go,
well, you're so judgmental. It's just a little heroin. It's just a little adultery. It's just a little robbing of banks. What's wrong with you? You're so judgmental. You used to like to do those things with me. I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Can I tell you the worst thing as a Christian to do is to blend in with the world and to look like the world and for nobody to be able to tell the difference? It's like, oh yeah, so who's the roughneck, outlaw, drug-dealing biker and who's the Christian? They look exactly the same. As a matter of fact, most of the time you can't really tell the difference except that guy's going to the bar and that guy's going to church. Interesting.
Come on.
See, when we look like the world and we act like the world and nothing changes, guess who we are? We're the world.
That's right.
The church that is the world is the world.
Come on.
The church that says, oh, we embrace all aspects of the world is the world. That's not the church. That is debauchery. I don't care. Again, truth is truth. And I don't care what you say, truth is still truth.
Amen.
And he said, this is my truth. Amen. And I came to bring a sword to separate so that you would know what truth is.
And sometimes it says here, God bless you, rapid swift, when you get flowing for Christ, there's going to be a sharpness to you, and oftentimes there's going to be a sting to you. And it's going to put some people off. But if you can stay in movement, one of the things about when we were strapped to the back like this, when you don't have time to stop and pray and you're just in flow with God, there's a lightness to it that's much easier. You're just like, God, you've got me strapped and we're going 1,000 miles for you and I'm okay with it. There's a lightness to it. There's a frivolity because I know I'm yielded to you. And if I'm yielded to you, it doesn't matter how fast I go or where I go, we're going to get through it. So I'm not worried about it. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It doesn't say that we should skip with perseverance in any of the translation or walk with perseverance. It says we should run. Why? Because sometimes the faster you go, the less time you have to get your thinking in the way.
We're called to be separate from the world.
Amen.
We're called to be separate from the world.
Amen.
Amen.
We're called to be separate from the world.
Amen.
Took three times. That's all right. Because see, we're supposed to be different.
Right.
How will they know? When you have something and it's not, you got food and it's not salted, and you want to put salt on it, you take a salt shaker and you go. And if you take a bite of it and it doesn't have any flavor, are you disappointed?
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said. You're the salt of the earth.
Right.
He said, look, if somebody puts salt on their food and all it is just grainy, crunchy, flavorless stuff, they're going to be disappointed. Because it's supposed to be salty and it's supposed to add flavor. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are supposed to be, is the salt of the earth. And it says if the salt loses its flavor, then what? It's not good for anything but throwing on the ground to trample on.
You know, another thing about staying in rapid movement is things don't stick to you as much. So things lay on a river that moves slowly, but they'll bounce off a river that's moving pretty quick. All right, the fourth one and the last one is the Euphrates, which is also called the Parat. In fact, most of in the Old Testament, it's referred to as the Parat, not the Euphrates. What it means is, it comes from the word Hebrew word para, which means to bear fruit or to be fruitful. It means that which is fruitful or fruitfulness. John 15:16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that would last. Didn't we just read that about the river in the book of Ezekiel? That there'd be trees on both sides that would be bearing fruit through all the seasons. John 15:8, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. as we burst forth, as we bubble up like that Gihon, as we spread out and increase like the Pishon, as we stay sharp and separate and in rapid flow like the Tigris, as we do these things, we will be fruitful. We will be that Euphrates also. We will bear fruit. Those people that come alongside of our brinks where our river touches, there's going to bear all sorts of fruit. Rivers that will feed nations, and where it touches them, then there in turn will be rivers that will go out and feed more of the nations. To be fruitful, though, you must remain connected to your headwaters, and you must remain on the course laid out before you.
Who's your headwater?
Jesus.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? A triune God. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
What was that?
Nothing.
Absolutely
nothing.
Nothing. You know what that translation means?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Means nothing. Means you can do nothing of value without him.
Amen.
Unless we remain in the river, dissolved into the river, we cannot bear fruit.
And then you have to remain on course, which means you have to be patient. You have to be patient. You have to remember fruit is grown. It's not created. It was created once. It's created once with the seed. Now we plant the seed and fruit is grown, which means you have to be patient. And you have to wait.
Yeah. And just staring at the apple tree every day and going. Doesn't matter how many times you shout at it, yell at it. Shake it. When will they grow?
In due season.
In due season, if you do not grow weary in well-doing, you will receive a harvest. Amen. That means you can run out there to that apple tree every day and yell at it and shout at it, but until it's time, it's time. Amen? So don't get angry with yourself and look in the mirror and go, stupid apple tree, make out. Just say it. You got to say, what a beautiful apple tree you are. Lord, you are working apples in that apple tree. And when it is time, the fruit will come to bear. And Lord, and I am not growing weary in well-doing.
Amen. And what do seeds need to grow?
Water.
And rivers of living water come where? From you. So don't pull back your waters because you don't see fruit, which is what we do. We don't see fruit and we say, well, I'm not going to flow on that seed anymore and I'm not going to flow on that plant anymore because they're not bearing any fruit and I'm tired of flowing there. You're not supposed to be watching the fruit. You're supposed to be flowing. That's all you're supposed to be doing. God is in charge of when things will grow. If you will continue to flow, then in due season, the fruit will come.
This one thing that she said this weekend really got me, and I want you to get a hold of this. When you go to the river, does the river go, Brandy's a pretty nice person, we're going to give her buckets. But Paul, spoons. Nikki, no spoons. I mean, really? Does a river do that?
No.
When you go to the river, it's not like you walk up and you check in and go, Kyle Bar Height, and the river goes, no, for Kyle Bar Height. But for Jeremy, rivers of living water. No, the river flows.
That's right.
And look, there's going to be people who jump in the river who just drown because they came for the wrong reason. And there's going to be those for life, they are going to be filled with life. And they will become part of the river. Right?
Now, it's important to remember as we talk about this and we close, though, and some of you ladies heard this and some of you ladies left, so I'm going to say this real quick, which is We just talked about four attributes of four rivers, but all four of them came from one river, right? So it isn't like you get to go, well, you know, I'm really good at that whole sharp separation thing, and I just want to be the Tigris River, or I'm really bubbly, and I'm the happy personality, and I just want, you know, I want to be the Gihon, because I'm good at all that, but that whole separation thing, I don't want to be the tiger. You know, people don't like the Tigris. They turn on them and call them bad names, and, well, I just want to be the Pishon, you know, and I just want to spread out everywhere and be those soft waters of acceptance. And the next thing you know, you're accepting things you got no business accepting into your waters, and you're upside down. You're supposed to flow in all four of those attributes. All four of those came from one headwaters, and all four of them need to be flowing in you. And you don't get to decide. You don't get to force feed people. Well, I think you need the Tigris today, so blah. God knows what. If you'll just flow in all four of those attributes, the ones you're weak in, say, Lord, strengthen me in that area. I realize sometimes I'm a negative Nelly, and I don't bubble very well. And I can kind of look at the negative side of light. So, Lord, I need you to come and make me strong here. I need to hang around bubbly people. I need to learn how to do that. I need to learn how to be a more positive personality. I need your strength here. And then flow. And when they get in, God will feed them from whichever river on the inside of you he needs. But don't just start leaning toward one of them, because then you're only able to give people a quarter of what they need, or maybe two-fourths of what they need, instead of the full river of living waters like they need.
Amen. Lord Jesus, Father, we just come before you. As you have given each of those who believe, Father, your word says, whoever believes in me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. Father, as those who believe in you, rivers of living water shall flow out of us. And Father, we pray that we would have the fullness of all four rivers of life coming forth, Lord. Not as we desire, but as you have made us. That, Lord God, they will flow in exactly the levels and the power that you have need of. So, Lord, let us only be obedient to allow the rivers to flow through us and in us. Lord, our prayer is to be ever pleasing.